Karmebhya parito hare priyataya. Vyaktim yayur gyaninas. Tebhyo gyana vimukta bhakti parama. Premaika nishtastata. Tebhyasta pashupala panka jajishas. Tabhyopi saradhika. Peshta tadvadidam tadiya sarasi. Tamna shayat ka kriti. Karmibhya parito hare priyataya. Vyaktim yayur gyaninas. Tebhyo gyana vimukta bhakti parama. Premaika nishtastata. Tebhyata pashupala panka jajrishas. Tabhyo pisaradhika. Peshta tadvadiyam tadiya sarasi. Tamna shayat ka kriti. Karmibhya. Then all fruitive workers. Parita. In all respects. Hare. By the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Priyataya. Because of being favored. Vyaktim yayu. It is said in the Shastra. Gyanina. Those advanced in knowledge. Tebhya. Superior to them. Gyana vimukta. Liberated by knowledge. Bhakti parama. Those engaged in devotional service. Prema ekanishta. Those who have attained pure love of God. Tata. Superior to them. Tebhya. Better than them. Ta. They. Pashupala panka jadrisha. The gopis. Who are always dependent on Krishna. The cowherd boy. Tabhya. Above all of them. Api. Certainly. Sa. She. Radhika. Shrimati Radhika. Preshta. Very dear. Tadvat. Similarly. Iyam. This. Tadiya Sarasi. Her lake. Shiradha Kund. Tam. Radha Kund. Not. Ashrayat. Would take shelter of. Ka. Who. Kriti. Most fortunate. Translation. In the Shastra, it is said that of all types of fruitive workers, he who is advanced in knowledge of the higher values of life is favored by the Supreme Lord, Hari. Out of many such people who are advanced in knowledge, jnanis. One who is practically liberated by virtue of his knowledge may take to devotional service. He is superior to the others. However, one who has actually attained prema, pure love of Krishna, is superior to him. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees because they are always totally dependent upon Sri Krishna, the transcendental cowherd boy. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her kunda, lake, is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radha Kund and in a spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, aprakrita bhav, render loving service to the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their Astakaliya Leela, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes. Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radha Kund are the most fortunate people in the universe. In the previous verse, Srila Rupa Goswami began with Vaikuntha and progressed to Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan, and Radha Kund. All of the places mentioned in the verse exist within the spiritual energy, in the spiritual world. And without prema, one cannot attain Vaikuntha, what to speak of the other places up to Radha Kund. But here, Srila Rupa Goswami steps back and shows a broader perspective of living entities, beginning with karmis, who are engaged in fruitive activity. And within the category of karma, there are two divisions. One is karma in the sense that one follows the regulative principles of karmakanda or varnashram dharma. And vikarma, which means activities performed against the injunctions of the scriptures, or in other words, sinful activities. Then, out of so many karmis, one may become a jnani. One who has knowledge that I am not the body, and that by trying to work and enjoy and gratify the senses of the body, I can never actually be happy. Because he knows that he's not the body, and that happiness cannot be achieved in relation to the senses of the body. So he wants to be liberated from the miseries of bodily existence. Out of many jnanis, one will become a devotee with knowledge or jnana of the position of the Lord. They are more dear to Krishna. But because of being overwhelmed with knowledge of the position of the Lord, they see no need to render service. They see that the Lord is perfect and complete. They do not believe that the Lord becomes hungry because he is the Lord. So what is the need to feed him? they don't see that the Lord becomes thirsty. So what is the need to give him drink? They don't see that the Lord becomes tired. So where is the need to put the Lord to rest? And so on. So they are in Shantaras. Mostly they're in Shantaras. And from Gyani Bhaktas up to pure devotees, there is a gradual increase in service mood and a gradual decrease in consciousness of the Lord's opulences. To render service, one has to have the sentiment of doing something for the Lord. One has to have the sentiment that the Lord wants some service, needs some service, or at least wants some service. And the mood of service increases, as we discussed yesterday, up to Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras. Among the Gyanis also, there are two categories. One category accepts the personality of Godhead, but gives more emphasis to the Brahman feature or the Paramatma feature, rather than to the feature of Bhagavan. But they are not offensive. They are Brahmavadis. They're not offensive. But Mayavadis are offensive. They do not accept the eternal spiritual form of Sri Krishna. They think that the form of the Lord is Maya. The name of the Lord is Maya. The pastimes of the Lord are Maya. The devotees of the Lord are in Maya. Everything Maya. They see only Maya. So they're called Mayavadis. So they are offenders. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also said, Mayavadi Aparadi, that the Mayavadis are the greatest Aparadis. So in the gradation of persons who are dear to the Lord, given in the verse, it is really the karmis that follow the instructions of the Lord in the scriptures who are dear to the Lord. And it's really the gyanis who accept the personality of Godhead, but who prefer to give emphasis to the effulgence of the Lord Brahman, or the localized aspect of the Lord Paramatma. They're not offensive, and therefore they are dear to the Lord. But even more dear are the gyanis who pay attention to the personality of Godhead. But because of their knowledge, they don't render service, because they think that the personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. He is Atmarama and Aptakama, so he doesn't need any service. But they appreciate. So such passive appreciation is called Shantaras. And Shantaras is on the borderline of between Jnana and Bhakti. And then Dasyaras, like Hanuman, Sakyaras, like Arjun, and Uddhava, and then Vatsalyaras, and then Madhuryaras. So a parallel description of the different gradations of living entities dear to Krishna or favored by Krishna is given by Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 19. The Lord instructs you to Rupa Goswami. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So here Lord Chaitanya gives even a broader perspective. He starts with the living entities in general. In text 144. Taramadye stavara jangama dui beda jangame tiryak jala stalachar viveda. The living entities can be divided into two divisions. What are the two divisions? Yes, moving and non-moving. So out of so many living entities, some move. And amongst the moving living entities, there are birds, aquatics, and animals. Taramadye manusya jati ati alpatara, taramadye mlecha pulinda bodha shabara. Then out of so many moving living entities, some few are humans. And out of the humans, so many are uncivilized. Like Lord Chaitanya has used the words mlechas, pulindas, and others. Uncivilized means they do not follow the Vedic system. Then Vedanishta Madhye Ardeka Veda Muke Mane Vedanishida Papakare Dharma Nahigane. Then out of so many civilized human beings who accept the Vedic principles, so many only give lip service to the Vedic principles, and very few actually follow. I had one practical experience when we first came to Juhu. The time for Janmashtami was approaching and we realized that we had no money to celebrate. And we were struggling so much just to survive, we were thinking whether we should even try to have a big celebration of Janmashtami. But finally we decided, yes, we must. And that we would go into the Juhu scheme, which was an affluent housing society behind the temple compound. So we started to go door to door, starting from the 13th road, which was nearest to the temple, then the 12th road, and then the 11th road. So when we got to the 11th road, we came to a huge bungalow with a big compound wall. And it belonged to Sri Krishna Kapoor. And I had actually met Sri Krishna Kapoor earlier. And he had become a life member. So when I saw the house, I was happy. I thought he'll receive us nicely and he'll give some donation. So I walked in the gate and I was shocked to find myself in the midst of a huge barbecue. So I was new in India. I didn't know that there were people who only gave lip service to the Vedic principles. I thought that everyone actually followed. So I thought, I didn't know what, I thought Mr. Kapoor might feel a little embarrassed, but without any sign of shame or embarrassment, he rushed up to me and he said, "Oh, Swamiji, Swamiji, come in, come in." So I came in and he was acting as if there was nothing wrong. And then he made me come in inside the house and sit next to him on the sofa. And he said, "Swamiji, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, hey Arjun, you can eat whatever you like. You can eat whatever you like, just think of me." So I had read Bhagavad Gita, and I never read any such verse. And I knew there was no such verse in Bhagavad Gita. So, but still, because somehow or other, he at least identified himself as a follower of Vedic civilization. He received us. He became a life member. He did some service. So he may be considered more fortunate than those who do not accept Vedic civilization, even though he doesn't really follow properly, and although he does engage in sinful activities. Then, Dharmachare Madhye Bahuta Karmanishta Koti Karmanishta Madhye Eka Gyanishesta. Among the followers of Vedic knowledge, most are following the process of fruitive activity and distinguishing good and bad, between good and bad work. Out of many such sincere fruitive actors, there may be one who is actually wise. Gyani. He knows the futility. Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Prabodhas Tavat, that the fruitive workers are always defeated. Actually, without bhakti, everyone is defeated. The karmis are defeated and the gyanis are also defeated. And because their consciousness is colored with fruitive desire, they are called karmatmaka. And as long as they remain engaged in fruitive activities, they're defeated. How are they defeated? Because they have to take birth again and again. And as long as they take birth, they're defeated. They have to suffer disease, old age, death, and rebirth. Srila Prabhupada felt very compassionate for the poor souls who were defeated by the illusory energy. I remember once in Madras we were riding in the car, and Srila Prabhupada noticed a long queue of people standing in line waiting for the bus. And he commented that, oh, they have to wait for so long for the bus. And tears were in his eyes. And he was thinking that they have to suffer so much. Koti gyani madhye haya eka jana mukta. Koti mukta madhye durlaba eka Krishna bhakta. Out of many millions of such wise men, one may actually become liberated, mukta. And out of many millions of such liberated persons, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna is very difficult to find. Like Srila Prabhupada. Krishna bhakta nishkam ata eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. So only the devotees of Krishna are peaceful because only they are desireless. But karmis, jnanis and yogis who desire bhukti mukti and siddhi are not peaceful because they have selfish desires. If one has selfish desires, he cannot be happy. He is wanting something. He's lacking something. And he's wanting something. So whether one wants material facilities for sense gratification or liberation from material bondage or mystic perfections, he still has selfish desires and he cannot be peaceful. And therefore he cannot be happy. Without peace, there's no question of happiness. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashantatma Kotishvapi Mahamune. O great sage, out of many millions of materially liberated people who are free from ignorance, and out of many millions of siddhas who have nearly attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of Narayan. Only such a devotee is actually completely satisfied and peaceful. Then, after describing the superior position of the devotee, Lord Chaitanya explains the process of devotional service. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, which begins with Shraddha and advances to Bhava and then Prema. So, to become a devotee is not easy, and to be a devotee is quite rare. It's actually quite rare. And but since Srila Rupa Goswami has mentioned different grades of devotees, going all the way up to the gopis, and among the gopis, Srimati Radharani. We can know something in theory, at least, about the highest position of pure love of Godhead. Now, yesterday one devotee raised the question that if one has the desire to serve in a particular relationship, is the desire sufficient? So here there are actually two considerations. One is that every soul has an eternal relationship with Krishna in seed form. And by watering the seed, by hearing and chanting and remembering, the seed sprouts and grows. So if we do not have the seed of a particular type of love for Krishna, we cannot manifest it. The other consideration is that there is a process to manifest it. And one should follow the process. So one should have the desire. First, one should have the desire. And one should have the seed or the innate capacity. And one should follow the process. For example, if I'm in Bombay and I want to come to Delhi, first I should have the desire to come. Then I should have the capacity. Suppose the ticket costs ₹2,000, so I should have ₹2,000. But besides having the desire and the capacity to pay, I should get on the right train. Even if I have the desire to go to Delhi, and I have the money to spend on the ticket, but if I get on the wrong train, I won't end up in Delhi. In the gradations of devotees favored by Krishna, although one may think that Lakshmi is especially favored by the Lord because she's always on the chest of Lord Narayan, but she doesn't feel that she is most favored by the Lord. So in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, different devotees offer prayers to their worshipable Lord. Like Prahlad Maharaj offers prayers to Lord Nrisingadeva. Lakshmi Devi offers prayers to Lord Narayan. Hanuman offers prayers to Lord Ram. So what does Lakshmi pray to Lord Narayan? Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text 23. Satvam mamapyachutash sirshnivanditam karambujam yat Tvad adai satvatam vibharshi mam lakshma varenyamayaya ka ishvara sihitam uitum vibhur iti. O infallible one, your lotus palm is the source of all benediction. Therefore your pure devotees worship it, and you very mercifully place your hand on their heads. I wish that you may also place your hand on my head. For although you already bear my insignia of golden streaks on your chest, I regard this honor as merely a kind of false. Purport. In many places, the Shastras describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead as being more inclined toward his devotees than toward his wife, who always remains on his chest. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.15, it is stated, Natatame priyatama atmayonir na shankara na cha sankarshano na shir naivatma chayata bhavan. Here Krishna plainly says that his devotees are more dear to him than Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Shankarshan, the goddess of fortune, or even his own self. Then there are other references. And finally, Srila Prabhupada quotes word for word a whole section from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the section from Chaitanya Charitamrita is very relevant to the verse because it shows how the Lord is more pleased by the residents of Vrindavan, by the love of the residents of Vrindavan, than by the love of devotees in other places, who have more knowledge of the Lord's opulences. In Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Rupa Goswami, he explains that there are two moods in devotional service. One is called Aishwarya Jnana Yukta. That means one is overwhelmed by knowledge of the Lord's opulences. That he is God. In other words, that he is God. He has all strength, all knowledge, and so on. And the other is called Kevala, which means that one simply loves the Lord for the sake of loving the Lord. Not because one thinks he's the Lord, but out of spontaneous attraction. Like one time in Bombay, because I heard so many times unconditional surrender, unconditional devotional service. So I asked Srila Prabhupada, what is unconditional devotional service or unconditional surrender? So Srila Prabhupada replied, spontaneous. So at the time, I could not really understand the answer, because I thought unconditional devotional service meant that one should not place any conditions in his service, that I will do this service and I will not do that service. Like once in 1977, when Srila Prabhupada was in his new quarters in Bombay, Tamal Krishna Goswami wanted me to go to the bank. But at the time I thought, no, why should I go to the bank? There are so many others who can go to the bank. Why is he asking me? So there was some discussion outside of Srila Prabhupada's room. He couldn't have heard it. I'm sure he couldn't have heard it. But anyway, after a few moments, he rang the bell and asked us to come in. And he started to preach. And then he said that if the spiritual master asks the disciple to go to the bank, and the disciple doesn't want to go, that is not to surrender. So I thought unconditional surrender meant that one should be prepared to do whatever the spiritual master or Krishna want, without any conditions, that I will do this service, but I won't do that service. So when Srila Prabhupada said unconditional devotional service means spontaneous, I was surprised. But later, I understood the significance of Prabhupada's statement. Srila Prabhupada himself always gave the example of the gopis as unconditional servants of Krishna. They didn't place any condition that they should get anything in return for their service. They only served Krishna for the sake of pleasing Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to give the example in a somewhat humorous way that in the evening when Krishna would return home from the pasturing grounds, the gopis wouldn't look in Krishna's pockets that, oh, what have you brought from the pasturing grounds for me today? I think indirectly Srila Prabhupada might have been alluding to the materialistic householders, where the husband goes to work all day and in the evening the wives want to know what he's brought for her and the children. So they don't make any conditions that they will do one service and not another service. They don't make any condition that I will serve if I get this much in return. And if I don't get that much in return, I won't serve. But where is spontaneous? Where is spontaneous? So then I realized that pure devotees, like the gopis of Vrindavan, serve the Lord without any condition that Krishna should be God. They don't make any condition that if Krishna is God, I will serve him. And if he's not God, I will not serve him. But serving without condition means serving spontaneously, without condition even that he's God. But they serve him only for the sake of his happiness, for the sake of pleasing him. But of course that is like very high stage. There are two kinds of maya, you know? What are the two kinds of maya? Mahamaya and Yogamaya. And what are the functions of Mahamaya and Yogamaya? Yes, Mahamaya is material and Yogamaya is spiritual. Mahamaya makes us forget Krishna. Yogamaya helps us to remember Krishna more, but she may help us to forget that he's God. But just remember him as a friend or a son or a lover. Mahamaya conceals the Lord. But Mahamaya partially conceals the Lord, his grandeur. But she partially reveals the Lord in his attractive features. One feature is called Aishwarya, that the Lord has all strength, all knowledge, all fame, and so on. And Madhurya means the sweetness of the Lord, which is relished in intimate relationships with the Lord, where the devotee is not conscious that Krishna is the Lord. And even if the residents of Vrindavan know that Krishna is God, but they become so absorbed in their loving service to Krishna, they forget. It goes out of their mind altogether. And they don't particularly care. If they know, it only becomes a matter of pride for them in their relationship with Krishna. Like when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, all the residents of Vrindavan could see the opulence of Krishna, could see the power of Krishna. And Mother Yasoda also. But she only felt the pride of a mother, that my son is so wonderful he could lift Govardhan Hill. He didn't give up her idea or her mood that Krishna is my son. And if someone said that that Krishna is no ordinary child, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then she would feel proud that, oh, my son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. like some mother might be proud that, oh, my son is the president. But still, the conception that he is my son is more prominent. That he's the president or the Lord is secondary, and it goes out of her mind. She doesn't think of it. Whereas even in Mathura, like when Krishna showed his power in killing Kamsa, Vasudeva and Devaki gave up their mood of being Krishna's mother and father. They said, oh, he's not our son. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in Mathura, there's some conception of Madhurya, but there's also Aishwarya. And outside Vrindavan, when the devotees are confronted by the opulence of the Lord, they can give up the idea that Krishna is my son or Krishna is my friend. Like when Arjuna saw the universal form, he said, oh, I thought you were my friend, and I disrespected you, calling you friend, lying with you, joking with you, and so on. But actually, you are the Supreme Personality of God. Tomorrow we will read how Lakshmi Devi tried to enter the pastimes of Vrindavan and failed. And we will learn why she could not succeed. And then we'll also discuss about Aprakrita Bhav, how one can actually reside at Radhakund and serve Radha and Krishna. Then Monday, if there's anything left from texts 10 and 11, we'll finish. And then we'll have some review. And then Tuesday, we will have exam. But the exam will mainly be based on the texts. On the texts in the book. Sorry? Well, there will be questions on the texts. Definitely you should know the contents of every text. And there will be some questions on the purports and some questions based on the discussions in the class. But I think the emphasis will be on the... Well, anything, any question could come. And you have to know at least 3 verses, Sanskrit and English, and the definition of pure devotional service, Sanskrit and English. Well, there are 6 points in the definition, in Sanskrit, say, at least. Anyabhilasita sunyam, there should be no other desire. Jnana karmadi anavritam, it should not be covered by karma or jnana. So, say 1 point for karma and 1 point for jnana. Then, anukulyena, it should be favorable. Krishna, it should be in relation to Krishna. And what is the meaning of Krishna? And anushilanam, it should be a continuous cultivation. So these 6 elements should be in the answer.
Really attaining
our desire. No, our desire, we can desire anything. We can desire the highest also. But unless we have the seed of the highest within us, we won't be able to manifest the highest.
That's what I've been saying. But now we have a connection for that. What about those, someone who desires to come towards liberation or not? And Krishna wants to make it accordingly, but there is no real seed there. The seed is just kind of wiped out, maybe.
No. If one wants to merge into Brahman, and he follows the process, for every achievement there's some process, so one must follow the process. And there should be some touch of devotional service, because without bhakti, one cannot get the goal of jnana or yoga or karma. So if one has the desire, and he seriously follows the process, including some touch of devotional service, and he gets the mercy of Krishna, he can merge into impersonal Brahman. But if he has the seed of service to Krishna, but the seed will lay dormant. It never fructifies.
We always share when we are in the spiritual world, in the theory world, we always have to share something.
He serves the Brahma Jyoti. He adds his little bit of light to Krishna's effulgence. He adds to the effulgence of Krishna. Very few people can actually merge into the Brahma Jyoti. And most of them fall down before they actually reach the Brahma Jyoti. But if one actually merges into the Brahma Jyoti, he could stay there for a long time. Well, we can't say, but he could stay for a long time. Vimukta Maninat means they think they're liberated. So, generally, it applies to aspirants of impersonal liberation within the material world. They imagine that they're liberated, but they're not actually liberated, and they fall down. But it has been used to suggest that people who actually do merge into impersonal Brahman fall down. But usually it refers to people in the material world who imagine that they're liberated just because they think they're liberated. Because they think that aham brahmasmi, so they think they're liberated.
They may be approaching Brahman realization. They may have some limits of that realization.
Well, like in bhakti, there are sadhakas and siddhas. There's maybe hundreds and thousands of sadhakas in one siddha. So in jnanis or impersonalists, there's so many aspirants or practitioners, but yes, they're trying to be liberated. And most of them fall down because they neglect the lotus feet of Krishna, the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Yes.
Mahamaya is energy, Krishna is the
She says, Mahamaya is the energy of Krishna, so why does the energy of Krishna take us away from Krishna? Because she doesn't want you to disturb Krishna. She is the servant of Krishna. So if anyone wants to approach Krishna, she will test the person, how sincere the person is really to serve Krishna, or whether the person really wants something else and will just disturb Krishna. So she presents so many reasons, so many opportunities to leave Krishna, so that if we're not really sincere to serve Krishna, we will be led away from Krishna, and so Krishna will be saved from us. But if we are really sincere to serve Krishna, whatever temptation Maya gives us, we don't take it. We only want to serve Krishna. Or whatever difficulty Maya puts, we don't run away from Krishna consciousness. We stay in Krishna consciousness. Then we show that we are sincere. And after we pass the tests of Maya, she will allow us to come closer to Krishna. I'll read it for the sake of the others on the microphone. Can you give the text? She's quoting one verse from the songs of the gopis. Nakalo gopika nandanam bhavan akila dehinam antaratmadrik vikanasarthito vishvaguptaye saka udevan satvatam kule. You are not actually the son of the gopi Yashoda, O friend, but rather the indwelling witness in the hearts of all embodied souls. Because Lord Brahma prayed for you to come and protect the universe, you have now appeared in the Satvata dynasty. So after Krishna left the rasa dance and the gopis became mad in separation, they sang the songs of the gopis called Gopi Geet. So of course, as we discuss, different gopis have different moods. So, in the previous verses, the gopis had, one way or another, criticized Krishna for leaving them. Like in the previous verse, Vishva Jalapayad Vyala Rakshasad Varsha Marutad Vajitan Alat Vishamayat Mayat Vishvato Bayat Vishavate Vayam Rakshita Muhu. O greatest of personalities, you have repeatedly saved us from all kinds of dangers, from poisoned water. What poisoned water? From the terrible man-eater Aga. From the great rains, from the wind demon, from the heavy thunderbolt of Indra, from the bull demon, and from the son of Maya Danava, Vyomasura. So here the gopis say that you protected us from so many dangers, from so many calamities. But now we are in the worst calamity of separation from you. So why are you not saving us now? And on a deeper level, one could say that they're accusing Krishna that by saving us from so many calamities, we put our faith in you. But now, after putting our faith in you, you are betraying our faith. So then the gopis begin to fear in their mood. They begin to fear that Krishna may become angry with them. And Krishna may say that you say that I'm this and I'm that and that I've betrayed your faith in me. Well, if I'm so bad, then good. You can be away from me forever. You'll never have to see me again. So fearing that Krishna might become angry, the gopis speak the next verse to pacify Krishna. So, because different gopis have different moods, especially two main moods, favorable and contrary. So each verse can be read in a favorable way and in a contrary way. So in the favorable way, they are saying that you're not actually the son of the gopi Yasoda, O friend, but rather the indwelling witness in the hearts of all embodied souls. You are impartial to everyone, and you give everyone what they deserve. So if we're suffering, it's not your fault, it's our fault. That's the simple meaning. But the other meaning, which will come in the mood of contrary gopis like Srimati Radharani will be, Nakalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan, that you are not the son of the gopi Yasoda. Because Mother Yasoda is so kind and compassionate that if she sees anyone suffering, even the slightest distress, she will do everything she can to help relieve the person's distress. But we see that although we are suffering so much distress, you're not doing anything to relieve our suffering. So you cannot be the son of Yasoda. She has so many good qualities, and you have no good qualities at all. So how could you be her son? Then, Akhila Dehinam Antaratmadrik. You are actually the indwelling witness in the heart of all embodied souls. Because the super soul lives in the heart of the living entity, but he is completely indifferent to the pains and pleasures of the living entity. If the living entity is suffering the most agonizing pain, if the living entity is about to die and is experiencing unbearable distress, you are not affected. The super soul is not affected. He remains neutral. So you are just like the super soul. You can watch others suffer and you remain in your own position. You don't care if they're suffering and you don't do anything to help them. Then if someone asks, or if Krishna asks, that if I am neutral and I have nothing to gain and nothing to lose from anyone else, then why have I come in the world? Then the answer is that you have come, that Lord Brahma prayed for you to come. So here there are some very subtle meanings that have been derived, that the purpose of Lord Brahma is to populate the universe with living entities. So, although Krishna is the super soul, actually they don't believe that Krishna is the super soul, but in a manner of criticism, or in a manner of sarcasm, they're calling him the super soul. So then why should the super soul come in the world at all? Because Brahma prayed for you to come. Because Brahma wants that the universe should be full of living entities. And if people render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they become liberated. And therefore, the universe will become empty. So to keep the universe full of fallen conditioned souls, Brahma prayed for you to come. Because when people see your character and your activities, how bad you are, that you lie, you steal butter, steal other men's wives, you cheat, and you have no mercy for those who love you. When they see how bad you are, they will criticize you. They won't render devotional service to you, but they will criticize you. And by criticizing you, they will become further entangled in material existence. So Lord Brahma's purpose of keeping the world populated with fallen conditioned souls will be served. So people say that Krishna is God, and the gopis and other residents of Vrindavan hear the statements. So sometimes, in a sarcastic way, to criticize Krishna or to taunt Krishna, they will say, "You are not the son of Mother Yasoda, you are the super soul." But they don't really believe it. Just like, suppose people say that you're a great devotee, but I know you're not a great devotee. But suppose you become angry with me. So I may say, "Oh, you're such a great devotee, and you're becoming angry." But I don't think you're a great devotee, only I'm saying it. So like that, they say, "Oh, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Okay, time for Damodar. Shri Shri Radha Damodar ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Ramanujacharya ki jai.